Coming up, it's At the Closing Table, the podcast where Ariel and Ashley talk all things real estate, from local market trends to first-time buyer tips and the stories behind every sold sign. New episodes drop the first Saturday of every month. Catch them all on the Reggae Rocks app or at reggaerockstx.com under the podcast tab. Now, let's head to the closing table.
Hello, this is Ashley Pfeiffer
and Ariel Brooks Stevens,
and you're listening to At the Closing Table with Ariel and Ashley.
If you are looking for us outside of this podcast, you can find us at The Closing Table. It's on our Facebook page. We are at Closing Table on Instagram. And if you have a question or would like us to talk about a different topic than you've heard before, you can always send us an email at closingtable@gmail.com.
And I think we've said this many times, but you know where we work. We talk about that. So feel free if you've got something to, you know, either email us or call the office, any of those things. You know, we try to find and talk about things that we think are relevant, but you know how that goes. Everybody feels that something else is relevant or wants to hear, you know, I mean, everybody doesn't have the same thoughts. So sometimes I think, you know what, if there's, you know, first time home buyers or there's, you know, whatever, there's a plethora of things out there to talk about.
Yeah.
We are willing to talk about other things. Mm-hmm. We just need somebody to say, hey, this is what I want to hear about.
Yeah, for sure. So send it our way and we'll chat about it.
And, you know, one time we had a guest. We could always have another guest. In fact, I'm thinking maybe it's time to have another guest.
I know. That was super fun when we had a guest.
Maybe we'll talk about that and figure out. So if anybody has any suggestions on what type of guest they want, we're open to that too.
Yes. Perfect. So how you been?
Good. I feel like we might be getting a little bit busier. I don't want to be too overly optimistic, but
I would like to say that the hope that I expressed in October has manifested itself because it is busier.
Yeah.
It's a lot busier. And I think whether it's actually translating to closings, it's a much healthier discussion around real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Sellers are seriously considering selling. Buyers know that if you want the house that's going to work for you, you've got to go get it. Interest rates dipping below 6 was super helpful.
Yep.
I think it was, if nothing, it was a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
I closed a client at 5.75 a couple weeks ago, and I just wanted to do a happy
dance. Jump up and down,
I did a little bit.
I know. It's funny. You know, we kept hearing that, you know, we just feel like if rates will get into the fives, everybody's going to start moving.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, sometimes the powers that be, that we're not really sure who they are, know what they're talking about. Because I feel like, you know, and I think it's funny that you mentioned about the fact, you know, that we are busy, and does that really equate to transactions, or is it just getting, but there for a while, we weren't even talking about transactions, much less actually getting to the closing table.
Yes.
So I feel like the uptick in the phone calls and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that has greatly increased, but we're actually getting some to the closing table now.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well, and that's the way it is when you're an entrepreneur and trying to grow your business and do well by all of your clients. You know, sometimes it can be really discouraging with you keep doing everything you're supposed to do, but nothing seemed to be working in 2025.
Right.
I'm here to say it does work. Just keep it up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, keep paying attention to what you got going on, and eventually it starts to pay off. And I know for communities like Bernie with aging populations, there's a lot of talk about what should I do with my home before I'm forced to leave my home, or, you know, I get at the interest rate. When you have a 2% interest rate, it is a much different discussion about whether or not that home works for you or not. But I think that people who need a new situation are finally ready to get going. And we know there's buyers for these properties. We just need to get more properties on the market. So hopefully 2026 has to end better than 2025.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so. But so far, I feel like, you know, even just the general optimism has changed a little bit.
Yes.
And we're supposed to get rain. Mike Lang always said that, you know what? When there's rain, everybody feels a little bit happier.
It's
so
true.
I'm going to hold him to that.
It's true. Hopefully we get a lot of rain.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of rain and feel goods, obviously the July 4th floods were not great in any way, shape, or form. But I have to say that being a part of a transaction for a flood victim and seeing the way that the community has rallied, the granting organizations, it was one of the best closings we've ever had. I mean, when people from all over the community show up,
it's awesome.
To high five, yeah, it was a good feeling. So, yeah. I mean, that's just good stuff in the for the industry as a whole.
It's just feel good moments, and I'm telling you, after some of the stuff that we've had in the last couple of years, we all need feel good moments.
Yes, so yes, we do.
It's worked out.
We certainly do. Well, and obviously, with some of those feel good stuff, there's some challenges that we're going to face in 2026. Mm-hmm. But again, that's partly why we're here, to tell you about the stuff coming down the pipeline. To remind you that we are not attorneys, financial advisors, or inspectors.
Yep, and we don't play one on TV. That's what I keep saying.
Nope.
We're not any of those things.
No. But one of the things, I know Ashley and I have touched on fraud for like title fraud and things like that. But something we're hearing a lot about in real estate is the impact of AI. And I actually think that all this new AI stuff contributed to just a general fear of what in the heck is going on. And AI is a great tool, and so we need to be paying attention to it. But I think there's a heightened risk within real estate for a lot of different reasons, because we rely on everything is technology-based.
Right.
Everything. So I told Ashley it might be a good opportunity just to touch real fast on stuff that is coming down the pipeline, so that people are aware.
Right. Okay, so can I say something about AI real quick?
Yes.
Okay, so for 26 years that I've been here, we have used the same operating system, okay? This operating system is what does everything. It's how we balance our files. It's how we create our buyer, our seller, all of that, right?
Yeah.
Well, so at the middle of last year, because things weren't bad enough, this provider said, hey, I've sold to somebody else, and now you can have us for 3 years, but you got to figure out something else to do. Okay. So we, as of January 1, have switched our operating system. We've gone to this new one. And I mean, you know, there's some wonderful things about it.
Yeah.
None of us like change.
No.
So there's some things that are.
Who moved my cheese?
My cheese. I don't even think I have cheese anymore. But if I did, I certainly don't know where it is. So there are some really great things and some not so great things.
Yeah.
But one of the things is, we can scan in the earnest money contract, and then AI reads it and fills everything in, right? It says who the buyer is, who the seller is,
yes,
what the address is, what Ariel's email address is, what the buyer's, everybody's phone numbers, and it plugs it all in. And that's great. But that does not alleviate us having to make sure that everything is correct.
Yes.
So, you know, used to, we hand typed all of that stuff in, uh-huh, and then somebody else went back and looked and was like, oh, you know what, you fat fingered her phone number, or you did this or you do that.
Yeah.
You know, the wonderful thing now is it's basically alleviated that second person, right?
Yes.
Because AI puts all that in there, and then our first line of defense is the person who used to type it in.
Yes.
So now, since they didn't type it in, they can go through, and it's much easier to spot those mistakes.
That's awesome.
You know, because if you're typing something, you think you've typed it right. Even if you look at it,
right,
and you're trying to,
yes,
catch it yourself, so many times, you know, you miss the inverted number, or you miss,
yes,
you know, whatever it is, because you are seeing the second time the same thing you saw the first time, which was wrong.
Right.
And now, you know, we've got, it's all being inputted. All we have to do is make sure it's right. And that has really been something that I have enjoyed.
Yeah.
So
can it read the cursive? Like, if your people handwrite the stuff?
Okay, so if it can't, it just will leave it blank. And you don't get a notification like, hey, you know, we couldn't read the buyer's name, or we couldn't.
Right.
But thus far, I mean, and I have opened a lot of contracts because I had just thought that it was so dadgum cool, right? So I'm also, oh, Yvonne, I got that one. Yvonne, I got that, you know, right? I'm like stealing them so that I can play with it, because, you know, it does so many things. But I always say, have I told you the ESO story?
Oh, no.
ESO? Okay. So ESO basically is equipment superior to operator, right?
Oh, okay.
So we say that all the time around here. Like, I don't know how to do what. Okay, well, ESO, the equipment is superior to operator.
Yes.
And so there are so many things that it can do, but if you don't take the time and figure out all of those things, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I started using AI to pull out major points for, like, HOA restrictions.
Oh, yeah.
It's so nice not to have to read 27 pages just to find out your minimum square feet.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's such a great tool. Yes. Yes.
It really is a great tool. And I think that, you know, you can either be scared of it or excited, but either way, you've got to know what's going on. And knowledge is power.
Right. My whole thing is that it is a tool.
Yes.
And it should be treated as a tool.
Correct.
And you can't just scan your contract in and go with it. Somebody with human eyeballs has to look and make sure it's right. And I feel like where we run into obstacles and problems with AI and it being scary is when people think, here, I'm just going to let AI do it and I'm not going to do anything. No. That's
Well, those are also the people that aren't actually checking to make sure that what they've got going on wasn't AI generated falsely.
Exactly. Yes. So there you go.
Yeah. So it goes both ways.
It should be a tool. I love that you're calling it a tool because that's what it should be.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a wonderful, I mean, I think people are defaulting to AI for so many things. I mean, we see in real estate, let's be honest, everybody, we know if your picture is AI generated because you don't have a hair out of place.
When you walk in the door, I don't recognize you. I'm like, I don't know who that is.
For sure. Or, you know, everybody's marketing starts to look a little bit similar, things like that. However, AI is a great tool for marketing. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do today to help our clients market their properties more quickly and efficiently than we ever could before. That's not to say that it's going to take the jobs of our photographers and, you know, our assistants and things like that. It's just, it's making things a little bit easier. But on the flip side, you know, I often wonder, all these scammers and all these people that are doing bad things, if they could just use that brain power for good.
I know.
We would be so much farther along.
We would have that flying car that they promised me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we could,
I know,
figure out how to eat cheeseburgers and be skinny and, you know.
Well, there's that.
There's that too. I think we did figure that out.
I think so.
But so one of the things I know you and I have talked about is wire fraud.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think you can share, it was a falsification of an identity of a, like a driver's license of something like that. And we're seeing that a lot because, especially with vacant land, folks that don't live in the state of Texas or just don't live in town and trying to, you know, they've had this, my example was I had a gentleman, he lives in Canada. I was contacted by someone saying that they were him. He wanted to sell his lot. He'd owned the lot since 1984. Couldn't verify that this person was actually legitimate. Through the use of AI, people are able to falsify documents on a much... It's just easier, frankly.
Right.
Which is really scary. I mean, back in the day, everybody thought they were super cool if they had a fake ID to go to a bar.
Right.
But now we're just seeing things that are just mind-blowing because the pictures can be reproduced in a manner that makes it look
so real.
So real. So there's that. Grabbing people's email addresses is another thing, or making the email addresses look legit for wire transfer instructions. I think we've said it before, but if you receive changes of wire transfer instructions the day of closing or the day before closing, I would really take a look at that.
Yeah, that's probably not right.
It's probably totally inaccurate.
It's funny that we're having this conversation about fraud right now because we, you know, I'm always so worried about it, right? We have, you know, closing lock, which is where we can scan in driver's license to tell us if they're fake or not. There's, you know, all of these things, right?
Yes.
We have a whole company that all they do is watch our email to see if anybody is trying to get in and send in. And so the gentleman that owns the company was actually here today. And he was like, hey, he lives not too far from here. And he was passing by and he just kind of stopped in and we were chatting about different things. And while we were chatting, his phone, it was a weird little sound. And he's like, oh, somebody's, you know, trying to get into somebody's email. So he literally, all of us that he monitors, he gets a notification if somebody's trying to get into our email from the back end.
Wow.
And I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, it's so far over my head.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, break it down for me so that I can understand what's happening. And so he said that basically what happens is you get an email and it says that it's from so-and-so and it might be somebody that you think you know or whatever, right? So when you click on it and it says, hey, I want to download something. And it doesn't even have to say download. It could be like closing instructions for us, right? They know what we do. They know what to send us.
Yes, that's the scary
And so
part.
Then you, and it's somebody that you know, right? And so you put it all in there. And when it, when you put in your password for your Microsoft Office and that kind of stuff, well, then they send, not a Trojan, that's not what he called it. He had a different word for it. But basically, it's an operating system that then anytime they want to go in, they can use your authentication factors and do it themselves. And I was like, oh my God, I feel sick. I'm going to have to leave.
But think about it, we can't stop using email.
Exactly. But they are so smart with what they're doing.
Couldn't we make, solve like world peace if they just would?
Right?
Yes, no, it's crazy.
And so, I mean, I knew he monitored our email, but that was like seeing it in action, right?
Yes.
So this company was out of Houston that somebody was knocking on their email door, right? And I was like, okay, is that what you would get if somebody was, he's like, absolutely.
Well, and it's crazy because as agents, we try to compare notes because, you know, somebody who's creepy, we try to look out for each other, basically.
Right.
And a lot of these scams start through legitimate websites, homes.com.
Right.
They look like they're from Zillow. They look like they're from realtor.com. They're like, oh, you have a lead.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really curious how those scams start to affect, because agents sometimes will pay for leads.
Right.
Just to be top of mind when
right.
you're doing an internet search. So how do we make sure those are legitimate? I don't have an answer.
I don't think anybody does. It's like we're always one step behind the scammer.
Yeah.
Which, 100%. That's really not making me feel warm and
Which,
fuzzy.
Hopefully some of the information we're getting ready to share will help you at least stop and think. And I say the stop and think because I think about, you know, for those of us who are trying to help our aging parents and our adult, young adult children, it's really, really hard to get somebody to stop and think when they think it's legitimate.
Right.
I mean, we've all heard the stories where AI can now mimic your voice.
Right.
So, you know, everybody who's putting out videos on Facebook, just know they can grab your face, they can grab your voice, and they can do anything they want with it. And that's not to scare anybody. It's just to know that that is the reality. So,
and it is scary. I mean, I know we're not here to scare anybody.
No.
But the thing is, it's scary. That's the bottom line.
Create complicated passwords, but have a family password.
Right.
So if somebody calls and you think it's,
I've been kidnapped in whatever country. Send money, Grandma. Okay, well, what's your
first
password, grandson?
Yeah, exactly. What's your family password? I mean, we started that when the kids were little.
Us
okay,
too.
Someone said, you know, I'm here to pick you up. Your mom can't get here.
Us too.
Because my poor kids, we live in a small town, everybody knew everybody, and they'd be like, sure, you know my mom. Okay.
So true.
So, I mean, little things like that. I know, like, two-factor authentication drives my elderly father insane.
I know.
Insane. Because one, he can't remember the first password, so he can't remember the second one either. There's a lot of little things you can do. One of the things I think is really interesting that scammers have started, there's been a lot of chatter around closing table fraud, like the wire transfer and all that. Renters are starting to get scammed in very big ways.
So I'm very, very interested to hear this, how this is going.
So I'm just going to say, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
So what these folks are doing, they're some of these websites are mirroring our realtor.coms and Zillow's and things like that. And they are, it's a separate website and they're pulling. And then when you go to search for it, you're like, oh my gosh, this apartment is so amazing. It's priced $400 less than all of the other ones per month. Okay, so that should be your first clue.
Right. I mean,
as a realtor, my first thought is there's something wrong with it. But then there's an aggressive push on the parts of the agents, because let's be honest, when you go search for something, you're going to get it more often. They're going to capture the fact that you looked at it. Agents are going to start calling you. Do you want to look at the property? If you want to look at the property, we need a $400 showing fee, or we need the deposit up front. no, we don't want you to worry about an application. We just need the deposit in order to show you the property because it's a super hot property and it's probably not going to be here tomorrow. If you're in a desperate situation to get somewhere where you really think you want to be, yeah, some people are right. paying that deposit. You show up, nobody else does. And there is nothing you can do about that.
Wow.
Yes, that is.
And that $400 is gone.
Gone. Some people are paying the full month's deposit thinking that's wow. what they've got to do. Obviously, we have property managers at apartment complexes and things like that. So I'm not sure this is happening so much at apartment complexes, but it's happening in condos, single family residences where wow. it's happening a lot with some of them who the houses that have been on the market for a little while. The other thing that's happening is scammers aren't asking for an application. And let me tell you, when you want to rent a property from a legitimate landlord or through a legitimate property management company, they ask a lot of questions.
Right.
They want to know, they want to do background checks. They want to know your income. They want you to verify your income. Some of them actually require references from previous landlords and things like that. So that's another really big red flag that if they're not asking you anything,
too good to be true.
Way too good to be true. Because yeah. really what they're doing is they're defrauding people of their deposits.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's nothing that you can do. Some of these folks are putting down deposits on apartments or not apartments necessarily, but homes because they're moving from out of state. So there's a viable reason as to why you wouldn't be visiting this first. Could you imagine putting your deposit down and then showing up and there's somebody that lives
with
in the house.
U-Haul. Yeah.
With the U-Haul, with the whole nine yards.
I mean, that's just, wow, I don't even know. It's crazy.
Well, or you've got the situation where they're giving you too much information, where they're like, okay, this is the situation. This is what's going on. This is the type of landlord. You know, just be real careful. Don't talk to the tenants. We don't want anybody to know as to why they're getting kicked out or things like that. Like, that is not a normal conversation. If there is usually a small period of time between a tenant leaving and a tenant arriving because you want the place cleaned. You want any repairs that have to be made to be made. It is a very unique situation where you've got somebody who moves out one day and somebody else who moves in right. the next day, just because there's also that the condition reports that need to be verified so that the previous tenant can get their deposit back. That's a red flag if someone's telling you, no, it's going to be that fast.
Yeah.
But give me your deposit. Yeah. The other, it's usually a sense of urgency as well. That's probably the big red flag. Like, you got to do it now.
That is what I always say is a trigger when we've got vacant land and somebody's like, yes. I got to do it now.
Yes.
I'm always so leery of that.
Yes.
I mean, if you've had that land since 1984, why in the world are you in such a hurry to sell it in, 2 weeks right now? So I think
yeah.
that sense of urgency, and the thing is, we've talked about this, about how stressful it is to move, how stressful it is to buy and sell. And mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, stress is different than urgency.
Yes.
And that, oh, I don't have time for that. Let's just close or.
Well, and I will tell you that if you were buying a house in 2021 or early 2022,
oh, yeah.
it was a legitimate sense of urgency.
Yep.
You did not have any time whatsoever. We are no longer there.
Right.
And especially, yes, it's in certain areas, it can be a very hot market for rentals because some rentals are still a better financial decision than purchasing, especially if the monthly rate is less than what your mortgage would have been. And that gives you the opportunity to save up more money. So there are people who are like, okay, I really need to get into this house. I want to do this quickly. And that's where people are targeting. And to be honest with you, I haven't seen this firsthand, thank goodness. But apparently it is rampant.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening a lot because not that I was going to say there's less regulation. That's not that at all. It's just easier because rentals happen faster
right.
than sales transactions.
Just in general.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so just being able to somehow, some way, get the information that somebody's looking at particular properties. Again, you're using your powers for evil versus good.
Okay, so this is not really off the subject, but a little bit. There for a bit, we talked about that even rentals were kind of sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
Are they
mm-hmm.
back to moving better? No, they're not.
No, yes and no, I will say.
Okay.
We're seeing for the first time in a long time price reductions on rentals.
That's crazy. But we did talk about this last time, right? About that somebody made the comment that, you know, your money that you've invested in the stock market does not continue to go up. You know, there's ups and downs.
Yes.
What makes you think that the rental that you're going to get is not going to go up and down too?
Yes.
But that is a hard concept.
It is.
For people who own houses that are renting them out.
It is very, very hard. And what we're also starting to see is that I feel like I sound like a broken record because we talk about it all the time, every day. If you purchased a home in 2023, mm-hmm. you purchased at the height of the market. And if you can't get it sold and you want to get it rented, just be prepared that that rental rate will not equate to what your mortgage is. Once
that
you take the mortgage,
crazy.
Taxes, and insurance into effect.
So basically, you're going to be in the hole every month.
You're going to be in the hole every month for a little while. And you just need to know that.
That's just painful.
It is painful. Even people that had done improvements to their properties, you know, say you have a 2,000 square foot house. Just for math's sake, we're going to say it's $1 a square foot. Your mortgage is not $2,000.
Right.
If you spent $300,000 on it at a 7.5% interest rate. Throwing in taxes and insurance.
Painful,
so,
painful.
Yes.
But, you know, I know, you know, we had talked about the fact that what was happening during, you know, because it was so slow the last year, 2 years even, really.
Yeah.
You know, that people were, okay, I'm going to take my house off the market and I'll just rent it.
Right.
Well, so then we got overly saturated, mm-hmm. you know, with rentals. Mm-hmm. And these people were trying to recoup. You mm-hmm. know, they bought at the height of the market. They've got high interest rates. They've done all these things. Mm-hmm. And they were wanting to get rental to cover all of that.
Yes. Yes.
So,
well, and it's very interesting because we're back in a scenario where people are, the whole refinance is very appealing. Mm-hmm. It's been 2 years. Let's refinance. Mm-hmm. Depending on how much money you put down, you know, where's my equity position, all that stuff. Again, we're not lenders right. or financial advisors, but some people are getting the relief they need from having their houses, wanting to rent their house just with refinancing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that does make sense.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you're also competing with people who have no mortgage at all.
Right.
And really just looking to cover their taxes and mm-hmm. insurance. So that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Property condition. And that's one thing, too. When you start to hear something, a sense of urgency with a property that's not in the best condition should be a really, really, really big red flag. Especially on the rental side,
mm-hmm.
buying side as well. But I think we've also, there was some apathy in the market for a while on the part of everybody. So it's an interesting re-education process, I think, for people to know that your property has to be buttoned up. You have
right.
got to address.
That's a reality check.
Yes, for sure.
And we talked about that last time, you know, and you gave some really great tips about all the things. And now I walk into my house, I'm like,
I feel bad for my house on a daily basis.
I'm going to get to that.
My husband's funny. He's like, could you stop selling luxury property? Because I come home with new ideas and new things we have to do every day.
Oh, that's funny.
I was like, but it's not right. But yeah, again, I think one of the other things that we're seeing, unfortunately, I know Donna talked about this a little bit when she was here on the podcast, that something we may want to talk about is foreclosures and short sales. Neither Ashley nor I want to talk about it because we do not want to speak that into anything.
No.
However, that's happening as well, where companies are coming in and targeting these folks who are in a really big pickle because they can't afford their mortgage. And so they're offering them assistance. For fee, like, so basically these people are being scammed out of their money and these folks have no part of the process of a foreclosure or a short sale. They're not affiliated with their
right.
bank, and they look like they might be affiliated with the bank because they've created email addresses and
right.
just, it's really sad because that's taking advantage of somebody who's down on their luck already.
Right.
Either offering assistance for refinancing a mortgage, offering assistance for, I forget what the word was, but it was like another loan to help cover the difference or a catch-up loan type deal.
I know they have that for taxes, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And even with taxes, sometimes that's not legitimate.
Exactly.
The IRS is very, very flexible, let me tell you. Yeah. Some of these other people are not. And the problem, too, is with the foreclosure scams, foreclosure can be a long process. you know, a lot of times the bank will want, the bank does not want that house back.
Right. And they will do pretty much anything
they can. Will work with you. So some of these scammers let you get a little bit of ways, or it's once you start to feel a little comfortable that they come in and they get you.
Yeah. You know, so just on a side note, you know, you talking about that the banks don't want those houses back, and they absolutely do not. If you've got somebody scammer-wise that's trying to help you, and they will be the first one to tell you, we've got to get this done tomorrow.
Correct.
I mean, they're going to take your house, they're going to take your house, they're going to take your house. Let me tell you, that right there ought to be a big red flag.
Yes.
You know, that if they're threatening and all of that. Now, don't get me wrong, they will take your house.
They're gonna.
But, yes, you know, they want to provide you opportunities. Like, you know, if you, okay, your house is supposed to go up on the courthouse steps, you know, the first Tuesday of the month. A lot of times, if you've got an earnest money contract on that, you can send that to your lender and they will postpone that.
Yes. I mean,
there are things that can be done and workarounds and all of that, but if you get mixed up with the scammer, then you're just digging yourself into a deeper hole.
Well, and like we talked about, AI and technology has made it so much easier and more convenient for us to do the work we do with being able to sign documents electronically, but it has opened the door wide.
Yes.
For scammers. Because so much of what we do is done electronically. I think about back in the day when folks were moving from out of state, they were purchasing houses sight unseen. Everything was done electronically. I mean, it just sit back and think of the amount of trust they had to have in their agent and title company and everybody. And 99.9% of the time, we are really lucky that people are good.
Yeah.
But I think we're getting into a season where either somebody way smarter than me has to figure out how to get ahead of this, or we might go back to the good old days of handwritten contracts and checks and right. things like that, just because nobody wants to be scammed out of their...
Yeah. I mean your house generally is one of your biggest purchases.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, I mean, it's just scary.
Well, and again, I really worry a lot about the older generations,
mm-hmm.
Because we're finding people are finding ways to scam people out of their house. Just, and they live there and they are paying attention, mm-hmm. and they just don't know any better.
Yeah.
You know, failing health can make people do
crazy things,
quick, urgent things.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like the older generation has got this mentality, oh, I don't want to bother you.
Yes.
I don't understand that.
I don't either.
And I mean, these are the people that have run this country and that have, and now all of a sudden they're like, oh, I don't want to bother you. Okay, bother me, please. If you
yes.
think that there's something going on, something I need to be aware of,
yes.
please bother me.
Yes.
I would love to hear whatever it is that you're concerned with. So that's another thing. If, you know, y'all are in a transaction or you're thinking about doing a transaction, if something doesn't feel right, raise your hand, ask questions. There is never a stupid question. And that is how we ferret out fraud. And I tell my agents and I tell our customers, look, you are the boots on the ground.
Yes.
If there is something not right, you are the person that has to raise your hand, because I'm not there to
right.
know that there's a problem.
Well, and I will say too, as an agent and a broker and the owner of a company, there are still things I don't know.
Right.
And I mean, Ashley is the recipient of my questions on a regular basis, because all it takes is someone posing a question in a fashion that causes you pause. I would much rather say, give me 5 minutes and I can go ask my dumb question to Ashley.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Bob.
Yes. No, but it's true, because things do happen pretty fast. We have had a lot of changes. I had a client I was just talking with yesterday, and thank goodness they were a client that pays attention, because we helped them buy the house 2021 or 2022. And she goes, this form looks different. And I said, that's amazing, because they changed the forms in 2023. Then they changed them again in 2024. So like Ashley said, there are no dumb questions.
Right.
Just ask away. And I think sometimes we get caught up in having to be experts or having to not bother somebody.
Right.
Or feeling like we should already know. And sometimes once you've been scammed, you feel like, I don't want anybody to know.
Right.
So I don't want to ask these questions, because then someone's going to know I made a mistake. But
and if you're dealing with somebody that acts like you shouldn't be asking questions or doesn't have the time to answer your questions, find somebody else to deal with.
You know, yes.
I mean, life is too short for, you know, being made to feel like you don't know what you're doing. Or, I mean, our goal is to help anybody that comes in the door and help them understand the transaction, answer any questions.
Yes.
And if that's not the service that you're getting, then go somewhere else.
Yes, for sure. And let's think about it. Anything around your home or your living situation, that's your safe space. That's where it's supposed to be good. So we want everybody to come out of all transactions or all scenarios just feeling confident and well taken care of.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, yes, it's number one, two, and three or whatever on the most stressful things list, but you shouldn't come out of it feeling like that it was such a horrible experience.
Yes.
We don't ever want anybody to feel like that.
No, absolutely not. And even when it is a horrible experience, we hope that we've absorbed all the horrible so that everybody else thinks that it was great. So I'm glad we had a chance to share a little bit of that. If anybody does have questions, there's a lot of really good like one-pagers and things. Send us an email.
Yep.
At closingtable@gmail.com. Happy to send information to clarify anything.
Have I already told y'all that the courthouse has a new thing?
Thank you, because that was going to be my next question.
Oh, okay. So the courthouse has implemented a new feature where you can call and be put on a list and give your property. And then if anything is filed of record on your property, they will notify you.
That's
and
awesome.
And I think that is fabulous because, you know, how would you know if a deed has been recorded on your property if you didn't do it?
You wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. So this is just something that, and if I'm not mistaken, most of the courthouses in the state of Texas have already implemented this, are in the process of implementing it.
That was going to be my question, I know, because some of us,
uh-huh.
I think you said that, and I thought about like Fair Oaks, where you're Bear Kendall, right. And Comal County, and how do we tackle that? But yes, that's really good to know.
And I really and truly, I wanted to go on to the website or call, you know, Paula over there and say, okay, how do we do this?
Yes.
And I forgot to do that. So
that's okay. It's a feature. And I think it's a really, really smart and valuable feature.
Yes.
Because I talked to landowners. I mean, it doesn't even have to be people that don't live on the land. If you have 300 or 400 acres and you don't manage the entire property, I mean, when you're in real estate school, they give you the worst possible case studies. And where someone had squatted at like 2 acres. The thing is in the state of Texas, if that person is paying taxes on those 2 acres after a certain period of time, it's theirs, whether it was yours or not. So I really, really like this feature.
Yeah.
It'll save a lot of mm-hmm. unnecessary drama.
Well, and just the worry. So at
least
you know somebody's going to let you know if something, you know, happens on your property. Because I get phone call after phone call after phone call about, hey, can they really steal my property? Okay, well, if you're in a house,
not likely,
but, you know, I mean, people can cloud your title.
Yes.
You know, and that happens all the time. You know, I buy the lot next to you and my lender on my deed of trust puts my lot and your lot.
Yes.
Whoopsie daisy.
Yes.
So that, you know, even though somebody's not trying to scam you out of your property, it's an honest mistake.
Yeah.
That is still, you would want to know and then go to, okay, we need to fix this or,
well,
you know.
And usually the only way you find out about that kind of stuff is when you go to sell.
Or refinance.
Or when you're, you know.
Yeah. Your heirs find out about it.
Yes.
That's no fun.
No, that is not fun at all. So, again, if anybody has any questions, if they have, you know, personal situations they want to talk about, if we don't have an answer for it, I mean, reach out. If we don't have an answer, we know where to send you to get that answer. But yeah, AI is amazing. We just need to know the ways that it's not.
What to be careful of, I suppose.
Yes. Yes. Well, we're going into we're in the spring selling season. I know we talked about selling seasons last time too. So mm-hmm. summer selling season's coming up. So I think it's super important for people just to be able to pay attention.
Yep. I'm trying to think if there's any, I mean, there's just so much fraud, but I mean, we've talked about email fraud. We've talked about wire fraud. We've talked about scammers, you know, trying to impersonate. We've talked about rental fraud.
Well, and there are people that impersonate themselves as lenders as well.
Oh yeah.
And think about the amount of information you provide to a lender.
Mm-hmm.
They've got everything on you once you start sending stuff. So, yeah. The only thing I can say is do the double check. I mean, when I had the issue with somebody who I wasn't 100% sure was actually the seller of the property, I sent an email back that says, I am unable to verify you as the owner of this property. I will not be sending you any information until I can verify that. A legitimate owner would have responded accordingly.
Right.
I no longer got in any more emails from that person.
That's so, how you know. Yes. Scammer 101.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, if you think, oh, I live in a small community, we're safe, we're not. I mean,
no.
We here have had, you know, multiple instances of, you know, seller impersonation where they're trying to sell a lot and it's not really theirs.
Yes.
Or, so one of the things that we talked about this morning with the whole internet mm-hmm. and them knocking on our email, you know, trying to get in and all of that, is that we as title companies are so worried about it, right? We've got all of this protection. We're doing everything we can. But when I'm sending out to joeblow@gmail.com or joeblow@hotmail.com, guess what? Joe is not protected.
Right.
So they're not getting my email and faking it up for Joe. They're seeing that Joe's getting an email and then they are sending it from somewhere else.
Yes.
And saying, hey, I'm Ashley. And instead of Ashley@kcac.net, I'm Ashley.kcac.net.
Yes.
Or, you know, they're just one little letter or number that they're putting off and then it still looks like it's coming from me.
Right, right. 100%.
And so we're doing everything we can to protect our email, but that only does so much because there's two emails in this, in every scenario.
And even as a broker and an owner of a company, the amount of worry and safeguards we think we put into it, I don't know what I don't know.
I know.
And these people are way smarter.
Yep.
And
every day they're coming up with something
yes.
new. You know, our underwriters send us bulletin after bulletin after bulletin. And, you know, they send us ones, hey, here's the new thing that they're scamming you on. Or here's the latest scam that we're dealing with. Or, you know, I mean, and it's just literally bulletin after bulletin with.
Well, and I worry about people that do. Again, I'm always going to be concerned for people that try to sell and buy property without an agent. Because
yeah.
it just, there's just too many ways that you can get sideways. They can impersonate just about anybody.
And if you're not using an agent, then you don't know all of these things. You
right.
don't have an agent reminding you, hey, if you get wire instructions from someone else, don't use them, or, you know, whatever
it is. We also hold your hand through the lending
yep.
aspect
and
of
making
a transaction.
Sure all the timelines are met.
And so, you know, when things don't sound really kosher, you do want that second set of eyes to go, mm-hmm. hey, this is not great. This is not exactly how it's supposed to be. And then as an agent, we rely on the title company to help us as a third set of eyes for certain things because they see even more than we do. I mean, we just see what's in front of our face. Y'all get to see what happens with
right
all the agents. So, yeah, just don't go it alone.
Yeah.
It's not smart.
That's what we say.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
so do we have anything else that we need to cover?
I don't think so. I think, again, I don't know that this is the most favorite topic, but I just think it's been top of mind. And
yeah.
as we get faster, we get moving faster. I think we're a little bit more vulnerable because the scammers know we're moving a
Absolutely.
Little faster. So it's just important to know. And with so many more people renting these days, I thought it was just a good idea to know.
That is interesting. But, I mean, I don't know why I would be surprised. Scammers are scamming on everything. Why wouldn't they be scamming on that, too?
Yeah.
So.
I know.
All right. Well, so we will chat about maybe having another guest in the next couple of months.
It might be a surprise.
It'll be a surprise,
yes.
And if y'all have any topics that you want us to cover, please feel free to email us or contact us on social media.
Sounds fantastic.
All righty.
We'll talk to y'all later.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to At the Closing Table with Ariel and Ashley. Make sure to follow us on social media at The Closing Table. And if you want to listen to any of our previous podcasts, open the Reggae Rocks app and click on the podcast tab. Until next time, we'll see you at The Closing Table.